Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in.
Hello, welcome to today's episode. We're so excited to have you with us as we dive into another amazing conversation. Today, we're talking about the powerful idea of creating our own reality and all the awesome opportunities and challenges that come with it. We'll be sharing some of our own stories about stepping outside the usual societal norms, making conscious choices, and really aligning with who we truly are. We'll chat about the importance of living by our values and how we can be wayshowers and examples for others by choosing a different path. We'll also dig into why it's crucial to take responsibility for our lives and how our environment, the media we consume, and the people around us impact us. Plus, we'll cover setting intentions, asking the right questions, and taking small steps towards the reality we want. Get ready for an inspiring and thought-provoking conversation that'll encourage you to embrace your own power as a creator and live a life that's true to you. Let's jump into the episode.
Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I am here with my co-host Amanda. And today we are going to be talking about creating our own reality and what it really takes for us to claim ownership of what is truth and meaningful for us, and how when we do choose to create our own reality, we are effectively being examples for others, and how a new way of living can exist, and how we can be a template for a new potential, which is actually something that as we go through these very tumultuous changing times and we move out of what we are seeing as an old paradigm way of living into a new paradigm, it is what we choose as our reality and how we live to our values, live to what is our own personal standards, how we wish to see the world. That is what begins to be the actual bricks and mortar of creating a new way for us to be living. So we really want to talk about what it means to create your own reality, how we shift from what is quote unquote the reality, experiences that we've had with that ourselves, and see where else this conversation wants to go. So Amanda, happy to be chatting with you again. So this conversation has really been sparked by a recent trip that I took back to Australia, and in particular, a very rural part of Australia, a very small country town. And it really struck me how different life is in this particular area, how different it is to live in a place like that, and the mindset of people, and the reality that exists there. Sometimes when I do go home to visit my own home country, I sometimes feel like an alien there because the reality that I experience seems so outside of what is quote unquote the norm there. So this is really where, you know, today's topic has come from. So where should we start, Amanda?
Let's dive into what does it mean to create our own reality? Let's explore that and see where it wants to go from there. So through your journey, what have you come to learn that this concept means, and how, like, maybe some ways that we can look at our life and how it might improve, it might affect the experience of our life by focusing on the fact that we can create our own reality.
So when I think about my own life, I think something that kind of comes up quite a lot, especially how I've been living my life for the last 15 years, that has been, I left Australia about 15 years ago on a one-way ticket and I've never been home. I have been home for holidays, but I've never moved back to live there. And so that was probably a big moment in my life where I have consciously chosen to create a completely different reality. That meant leaving a country with no actual job. It meant leaving behind the career that I had just spent 4 years studying at university for. And it meant becoming a chameleon in terms of jobs that I wanted to do to create this new kind of life. And, you know, that took some time through that journey. I'd probably say, you know, even 7 years of that was doing different things to see, well, how do I fit in this new reality? What else do I want to create in this reality? So, you know, a lot of people look at the way that I've lived my life and especially get this from, let's say, people I've been to school with that I'm still connected with. And like, how do you do that? How could you do that? You know, like, how can you live a life like that? It seems for them scary, risky, too hard. So as an example of choosing your reality, that's something that I have done. And I think, you know, when I think about how we begin to create our own realities and be these creators, we have to really be tuning into what is a truth for us. You know, what is it within us that feels like the deepest alignment? What I can remember about growing up, we grew up in a small country town, not as small as the one I just went back to visit, but small enough. And, you know, we were, I suppose, a middle income family. We didn't want for anything. But I can remember feeling like, and I don't know whether this was how I was brought up. I don't really remember this conversation, but I just really thought that that was it for me for a very long time, that this was the level of life I was born into. And then that was that, that is what I should expect for the rest of my life. And I didn't really question that for some time. And then I will say it was probably when I met my husband, now husband, who literally blew the lid off what is possible. And all of a sudden through him, like, nothing's impossible. And I can remember actually the first few years of our relationship, how challenging that was for me, because it was like, what do you mean we could go there, or we could do that, or we could have that, or we could buy that house, or, you know, we could just literally do anything. And it was hard for me to let go of these confines and this construct and this box I think I'd put myself in. And I had a real hard time letting go of what I was allowed to do, what I probably was supposed to do, and just that sense of potential that I'd really capped for who I thought I was here to be and the life I was here to live. So on reflection, yeah, it was really Ricky's approach to life that literally anything is possible, that once I embraced that and worked through, you know, my blocks and barriers to that, that when I really got that concept, I was almost a little bit overwhelmed by it. It's like, now I have so many choices. Now I've got no idea what I want to do with my life. But, you know, that's really what opened the door for us together to then go, okay, let's kind of like see where this goes. And it's been an adventure to allow myself to open that door, and especially to have someone to do it with. But that would be, I think, where it really began for me. I think I want to also bring up too that when I was younger, we've talked about this before as well, that, you know, when I high school, I was bullied, and that really did a number on my self-esteem and how I felt about myself, but also how I thought about other people. You know, I thought, you know, girls were mean and I had to really deal with that. But choosing a reality back then as well, that this isn't true about me, that even in my own beliefs that I had formed about who I was then, that there was something wrong with me. Underneath all of that, I could still choose to not let that be the story that I ran, to not let that be my reality, that there's something inherently wrong with me. There was this choice to claim that, no, I am likable. I am lovable. There is nothing wrong with me. You know, I'm just unique and I'm different, you know? So I think if we can look back through our own lives, we can even start to see where we've had our own moments where it's like a very micro choosing of our reality, that if we really want to tap into our own abilities to make bigger shifts and changes when it comes to choosing our reality, we've got those tiny little examples in there of how we've done that. What about you? What is it? What's your experience been?
Sorry, dive into me. I'm curious what you think of where do you think Ricky developed that sense of anything is possible?
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting question because he came from a completely different background to me, where the family didn't have much, you know. So his mom was a single mom from when he was about 7 and sort of in and out of relationships and, you know, 4 kids. And I think he was the eldest of 4. And I think he just, his life circumstances, he just wanted more than he had. I think some of it's his nature, but yeah, I think he just grew up to be like, okay, I'm going to create more for myself. And he's said he's just never thought that anything was impossible. No one ever kind of told him that, I guess. It was never something he ever considered. And he's said that, you know, when he first met me, I kind of reined him in because I was like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You know, and he was like, oh, maybe I can't. So I had to do my stuff to let him run free. And, you know, sometimes for me, it used to feel like, you know, he's this balloon up in the air and I'm trying to grab onto him and like pull him back down to earth with all of my, oh, but what about this and what about that? I really had to let go of like trying to pull him, rein him in, realize that actually, you know, I could probably let myself go as well. You know, it's really is just a, where do we set that glass ceiling for ourselves of what truly is possible?
Yeah, it's interesting how we choose partners, right? So maybe mm-hmm. he needed a little bit of reining and you needed some exposure to maybe what else is possible. So
yeah,
I think I would say it's the opposite in my relationship. I'm the one that thinks that anything is possible. And I'm trying to convince my other person that we can create things. We can change our reality. So yeah. For myself, I will say that I think what we talked about in our last episode or the episode about the Akashic Records and looking at where my doubt comes from and that being part, I don't know if I mentioned it on the episode, but it was from, I think I spoke with you afterwards, that I didn't believe as a child that I could change my circumstances, right? So really feeling stuck, trapped, and that's obviously the opposite of creating one's own reality is believing that this is the reality I'm stuck with. And I think, and like you going back to your home country, I also recently went back to my home country. I was really able to see how far I've come and how much I have created and how much I've taken responsibility for the life that I want to live versus accepting the fate of my family, my genes, what I was born into specifically. And, you know, obviously there's still stuff that I'm unraveling and working through that is the work that I'm doing. But I think that work is a process in creating my own reality because I'm choosing something different. And I'll say that a big change in my life came from when my mom was on, you know, when it was just, she had just been diagnosed with cancer, and I had a sense that it was not going to be a favorable outcome. And so I was grappling with this new reality that my mom, the person that's always been there in my life, would not likely be there much longer. That was a new reality for me. And I remember being at my parents' house, recognizing that I didn't want to be on my deathbed, having all these unlived, unfulfilled dreams left on the table, right? I didn't want to be in a hospital bed and wishing I would have done things differently. That was a realization. Also, I saw very clearly that if I didn't become more conscious in creating my life, my children would inherit the patterns that I inherited, that I didn't do something about. It's like I clearly remember like lying there and thinking, I'm going to do things differently. I'm not going to wake up 20 years down the road and realize that I had let life pass me by just accepting how things are. Mm-hmm. And I think that set like the ball in motion for something new to come. And then what followed was like 3.5 months of my mom, dying and me being involved with that and present with that, which then led me to this place of being open to something different. And that allowed a mentor to come in that helped me see that, hey, that dream that you've been thinking about for 3 years of living abroad with your family. Yeah, you can do that. You can actually do that. That was like 10 months of rewiring my brain, doing things differently, all with the focus on creating this change to move abroad. That step put me on a new trajectory where it's like, it changed so many of the patterns that, it was a start in changing a lot of patterns. One of them being getting rid of my physical possessions, going through that process, because that's, my parents have a challenge with possessions. And so for me, I tended to hold on to things. I would get a gift and I'd have trouble letting it go. And so it's just like, stick it in the closet, stuff became a burden for me. And so the process of releasing all my possessions was such a liberating experience for me. And then that liberation created space for me to live in a different way. And so as I told you earlier, I'm listening to Joe Dispenza's Becoming Supernatural at the moment. And he talks about us being in loops, and he talks about us every day as an opportunity to create a new reality. Every day that we live the same patterns of our past, we are not creating a new reality. And every day that we choose something different, we are creating something new. When we consciously choose it, rather than, things could be left to fade a little bit. It's both. It's like a dance with the universe, and we can ask for things and, but being open to realizing that whatever we're in right now, this is just what we're in right now. And that can change. And so I think, something important is the belief that we can change. Part of me being able to convince my husband and our kids to sell our house, get rid of all our possessions, that came from this strong belief that I focused on, that I kept to myself, or I did not share it with many people until like the ball was like already rolling fast down the hill. There was no stopping. There was there wasn't anyone else coming in with their limiting beliefs of my plan to stop me. And so I did not tell many people until it's a done deal. Like our house is on the market. We're selling all our possessions. Come over and buy some stuff. I think a couple of months out is when I started to tell people. And so I wasn't allowing other people's limiting beliefs to stop me and what I wanted to create. And I think a lot of times what I realized is that we've created a reality, and with that, we're always being, that reality is always being reinforced by the people around us. And so if we try to change that reality, other people can come in and like start to question us, or, and that might plant some doubt in our mind. And so it can derail us when we're trying to do something that's beyond what feels comfortable, beyond what feels maybe natural to us. And so it's really important that we're aware of our environment, the people around us, like what we're consuming, the media, right? The media is such a source of fear. Are we consuming a lot of fear-based content, or are we consuming things that are that's telling us that we are the creators, that we can have these things, that we can live abundant lives? Because those, you know, we can go down multiple different pathways, but those the pathways that we can go down are very different depending upon what is reinforcing our belief system. So I just said a lot of things there. So I'll just go ahead and pause and pass the baton to you.
Yeah, I love all of that because, the big challenge that we face when, even if we have this spark of, you know, like you said, you had sat on a dream for 3 years because you were not in an environment that nurtured that to be true potential, true possibility. And that is one of the big challenges, is that, you know, we have these things that live inside of us, these dreams that live inside of us, yet we are surrounded by either family, community that would, if we were to speak those things into existence, you know, push back. And it's so interesting the way that you said that, because it reminded me of when Ricky and I first left Australia and we were renting a place for a short period of time before we left, and the girl that I worked with. And we'd literally decided probably within a week that, you know what, okay, we watched some documentary on 60 Minutes about Dubai. I'd been talking about going to work in Saudi because I was working as a radiographer, and we kept getting these magazines in the hospital about nursing jobs in Saudi, and they make all this money. And I figured, well, I'm a radiographer. It's the same building. Surely there's jobs for them as well. I don't want to go to Saudi, but there's a couple of jobs in the UAE. What about if we look at that? And then, yeah, Ricky found the 60 Minutes documentary. We went to an internet cafe because we didn't have a computer, and we watched it in an internet cafe, and we're like, you know, it's talking about the construction boom. Ricky's in construction. And we literally sat there that day and we made the decision. We're like, let's do it. We went home, told my friend, and she was just like, what do you mean? And we're like, within about, I think, the span of 3 to 4 weeks, we sold everything we had down to the knives and forks, our car, and bought a one-way ticket, took my cat to my mom, said, look, we'll send for her in a week when we find a place. And my friend's head was spinning. She's like, what do you mean? Like, she could not wrap her head around the fact that we would just make that decision and then act on it and literally go. And so, you know, there's an example as well of how people may not understand the choices that you want to make when you really are striking out to create a new reality for yourselves or for yourself. And, you know, it does, it goes against mainstream beliefs sometimes. And we need more now than ever people to be thinking about what else is possible, what other potentials exist for ourselves, to then be examples for others, but also how that gives us new ways to be living in a way that collectively, the more of us doing that, that creates the shift that we really want to see, that creates a new reality for us collectively. Because the only reason we're currently in the, let's say, the larger reality here right now is because we've never questioned that. We've followed the rules. We've listened to the people in charge. We've abdicated our power to those in authority. And what I also want to say is that one of the challenges that we face when, you know, we really want to create something different is that, you know, there is this expectation of society. There's the norms that we have grown up with. And, you know, anytime we choose something outside of mainstream belief, like we step into that new lane where all of a sudden we're strange, we're weird. And in some ways, the narrative is in the collective that, you know, don't do that. Don't be outside. Don't be, what is the word? Like, you know, I mean, even alternative, that's got a connotation to it that, you know, when you think outside of those program lines of thinking, you are stepping into sort of no man's land in some ways. So there's a hesitation to do that. And again, if we're not in the environments that support that, it's really challenging. But we're really here to say that. And if, you know, you need someone like we had, you know, I had Ricky, Amanda had a mentor that really said to or showed both of us that there is more that you can choose, and it is okay for you to choose it. So let this episode, let us tell you that despite the situation you might be in now, you can choose that. And we were talking earlier before where we were saying, you know, ways we can step into a new reality is one of those steps being that we do move ourselves into those environments that can support us to think differently. And I mean, you personally, Amanda, maybe you can speak to this. Like, you've moved out of your own country and you've moved abroad. How was that a door that opened for you to continue to really craft that? And it wasn't something that just sent you running back home going, oh my God, that's way too hard.
It was hard. I will say that. It wasn't easy. It was a determination that, I don't know, it was like something activated within me, knowing that this pathway had something for me, because I imagined it for 3 years, but my belief system didn't allow me to consider taking those steps. I didn't believe I could have the resources. I didn't believe that, yeah, like, how could I convince my husband? How would we tell our family? What if, you know, all the what ifs, right? Back when I didn't believe it could happen. And then it was like a seed that was planted that, yes, this is possible. I'm not going to, it's like tunnel vision in a way. It was. And so it felt so, it's almost like I got permission to go for it. Like, I couldn't fail at it. And so therefore I'm going to take the jump and go. There was, I think, a lot of imagining what this life would be like, and a lot of that imagining was, I think, naive to some degree, but at the same time, because, you know, it's not that moving to another country solves your problems. It's like, you know, it was like, we moved and it's like, okay, now it's time. You're in the environment where you can address a lot of the things that you haven't been addressing. You know, it was like my husband and myself, like, we were living on a regenerative agriculture farm in Costa Rica, and we had this like beautiful porch that just looked off into the food forest, and you could see the ocean way off in the distance. And we sat on that porch for 3 hours, many times, having like going into the depths of our relationship and who we are. And it was not something, there were conversations that we weren't able to have back in our old life, because we were living in ruts. You know, we were just like, you know, we could avoid having these conversations. Mm-hmm. We could, you know, we created something where it was like we could coexist, and but it wasn't really what either of us truly wanted. Like, we weren't, we were going through the motions. We created a situation where we could then deal with what we needed to deal with to get someplace new. And so sometimes to create the reality we want, we have to also deal with some hard stuff before we can. And sometimes maybe that's why many of us don't more actively create the reality we want, because it's easier to stay in the status quo and not go into those tricky places.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what is the saying, that it's like the beast that you know is, I don't know if they the word beast, but something along the lines, it's like,
I think it's familiar, the devil that you know, isn't it?
The devil that you know.
Yeah.
Yes. Is like safer than
the devil that you don't.
Yeah. Right. And, so anyway, so that's like, it's like, the decision, it got this ball rolling, and it's like momentum developed. And I was Joe Dispenza talks about creating a new reality of who you are. And it's like, I remember being at Trader Joe's. It's this, I don't know if you know, do you know Trader Joe's?
I know the name.
Yeah. It's a cool store that we have in the United States that has a lot of, I don't know. It's like, it's a cool store, food items. I remember going there one day, and I'm like, I want to just be someone who lives in like clothes that you could go camping in. Like, I don't want the reality of having to dress up to impress people. And then I realized, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm creating that reality where I can be a person that dresses in camping clothes. Like, I want to camp. I haven't done a lot of camping, but that's like the feeling that I want. I remember, like, and I was such in that energy of this, like, seeing this new person, it was me leaving the identity of like who I thought I should be, of like all the things ideas that I accumulated in childhood unconsciously, right, from society. What does it mean to, you know, who should I be? What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to live a good life? You know, all of those ideas kind of unconsciously push us into making certain choices. And I can remember like after I became a doctor, like getting a suit and feeling so uncomfortable and gross and like, this is not me. This is not who I am. I feel like I'm playing dress up. I feel like I'm a fraud, and this is not the life that I want to live. Yeah. And so to then be in a place where I'm like, I'm creating a life where I can just wear comfortable clothes all the time. And that's okay, because that's the life I created. It's like we can create the persona that we want that is maybe different than what society tells us we should be doing, or what does it mean to be successful, or, you know, whatever value system has imprinted upon us that has pushed us in a particular direction. It's like really getting to know is like, what is it that I want on a deeper soul level? What feels true and honest to me? And it can be different. Like, it's kind of cool that I don't have to put on something that feels fake and uncomfortable, right? Yeah. Rather than being like, oh, I have to get up today and I have to put this suit on and I have to go do this thing that I've been there, as far as like being on like a hamster wheel that I don't want it, like Groundhog Day, where you're just like, I'm so stressed out and I don't want to live this reality, but I feel like I have to, right? I feel like I'm stuck. There's don't feel like there's another way out. It's almost like realizing that there's more possibilities than our current mind can fathom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what I think of when you say that is coming back to, you know, the reality, you know, if we really look at what we've been taught, right? And I think I said this once before, there's such a really narrow, limited set of options here, right? It's a well-worn path that we're taught to walk down. And in some ways, again, we don't ever question it, you know? There's penalties for not doing it, you know, like if you're in some ways, like I just think of like, I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but unless a child is of course enrolled into homeschool officially, you can't just not turn up to school. Like there's penalties for that. So like everywhere you go in society, there's some sort of guardrail, right? Like even when you get as adults, like you've got bills to pay, so you've got to have money, and you know, it goes on and on and on. So it's kind of like you're always being corralled into this sort of, I'm going to say, like controllable lane where, you know, Ricky and I have this conversation quite a lot, that it's about keeping you busy, keeping you tired, keeping you stressed, keeping you reaching for that better life, but you need more money to have it. You know, the cost of living goes up, so then you've got to earn more, but then you've got, you know, things constantly coming out all the time, like new phones, new TVs, new cars, whatever's, you know, you've got to have the latest. Like that is a way, and it's also completely fine. But for anyone listening, that, you know, so much of what you're seeing out there, if it really gets your goat and it grinds you in a way that like, this isn't right, this, there's got to be more to it than this. There it is. And you get to choose it. You get to choose your reality. And, you know, as we've been saying, it is really about, okay, well, how do I authentically express me? Because there are how many billion humans on this planet, and we are not here to live, like it feels like seven pathways to life, you know, like it's so narrow compared to the, you know, infinite ways we can express ourselves. And I think, you know, if we can be our authentic selves, if we can be living in a way where we are thriving, where our life feels meaningful, where we get to live by our values, while that looks different, there's everybody is getting to feel a sense of fulfillment and wholeness and joy and satisfaction out of life. And to me, I hold very high ideals of where humanity can go, but truly believe that, you know, if enough of us are choosing these paths that feel right for ourselves, we are moving in a really positive direction, because none of us really want to be unhappy, stressed, taking tons of drugs, drinking shitloads of alcohol, consuming shitty food. Like, we do those things to cope. We don't do those things because inherently we love doing them and just can't get enough of it because it brings us so much happiness. We do that because we're escaping and trying to numb out, you know, the dissatisfaction with the life that we're living. So yes, you can have a different life. And yes, it can be challenging to take those first steps because there is risk involved. Risk of, you know, will it work out? What are people going to think? People won't understand, depending on the situations that you're in. And at the same time, when you do that, and you are going to step into a long line and path of just continuous growth, it is a self-responsibility piece. It's a personal growth piece. You're learning how to be strong, make decisions, to come back to your alignment, to know which way to go. So it's like an incredible thing to step into saying, no, this doesn't feel like the reality that I want to follow. This does. Let me explore it. You can face that fear with what you have, and each step you take will bring you into a place where you're expanding, you're growing, and ultimately it is the way that our consciousness and our awareness of life will continue to expand. So it's like it's a portal and a doorway that you walk through, that having walked through it for quite some time, like it is just a path of, like, it is a path of expansion. It is not a path of just this going in a straight line where the walls might feel like they get tighter and tighter as life gets harder and harder and just more dissatisfying. So, you know, again, I think we said this at the start, when we start to step out of those norms and we show that it's possible, we create opportunity for others who are feeling this way as well. So it's like, this is where we talk about being way showers, that other realities are possible, that we can thrive in different ways of living with each other, for ourselves. And I honestly believe that it's none of it ever really leads to, when it's coming from our authentic expression or alignment, it doesn't lead us to places where we harm other people, or we're trying to tread on other people, or we're trying to have more than someone else, right? It's such a different consciousness. It's such a different vibration. It's such a different mentality to hold when we're choosing to create our own reality, right? Like, there's some way that's more about inclusivity. It is about others. We're looking for those others. And it's always about some form of personal growth or spiritual growth, or, you know, having more, but in a way where it comes inherently from within us rather than from externally. However, you know, if you choose to have a path where, you know, that also involves accumulating more things, that's also okay. But when we're aligning to that truth within us and we're following that as a reality, I feel like it just is something that unlocks and unlocks and unlocks, you know, the true things that we've come here to experience, of like, that are all inward senses of abundance, as opposed to sort of those external things that we can accumulate in life, which is society's idea of, you know, how success it plays
and
out.
Value and worth and all of that. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. What you were talking about, the alcohol, the food, or you don't know if you mentioned food, but the various coping mechanisms, right? I can just share from a recent dance with the whole observing of the victim creator energy. So I will say that 2023 was felt like an awesome year for me. I felt like I created a lot of new space, and it felt like a good year. 2024, the first part of it, not so much. And as I've mentioned before, we got a puppy. I really found myself in a more of a victim state, feeling hopeless, feeling stuck, not feeling like I can make progress in the things that I want to do and create, not seeing how things can change, feeling like my time is dominated by this dog and the responsibility, just like feeling like I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And one night I had a dream that woke me up at 4 a.m. and I could not go back to sleep. It was like something, it showed me something that I didn't, or it felt real. It felt real. It wasn't real, but it felt real. Like it felt like a potential of like where things could go if things didn't change. Like this is a horrible like direction of where things could go. That jolted me out of, I think, this energy that I was in. And I laid there in bed for like, I couldn't go back to sleep for like an hour, and the dog woke up, and then I went and fed the dog, and then I put the dog back in the bedroom with my husband, and I went down and I started working. I've been doing that ever since, probably like 2 months now I've been doing that. And it's changed so much in my life and my outlook, because I shifted the feeling, the state that I was in, thinking like, I can't make a difference in my reality. I can't change things. I'm stuck. I have no time. All these reasons why my life isn't what I want it to be. A simple thing was able to change all these different areas. It's changed my outlook. And then that's like a feedback loop, right? With like, oh, I changed this and this got better. And it's like, okay, what if I change this and this gets better? And I keep choosing more things. Well, it's like, okay, well, what if I did this? What would that add to the experience? Mm-hmm. For example, I listen to spiritual, personal growth related stuff. Like my YouTube feed is interesting. It's like spiritual and like personal development. It's like photography, website, web design related stuff. And then I like alternative media, and I watch like what's going on in the world. Like I don't watch the mainstream media, but I pay attention to, I feel like I've gotten somewhat good of like not getting pulled into the drama, but to some degree, it's still affecting me, because it's like that stuff is like the, well, I'm tired. I'm just gonna, it's like kind of like junk food, kind of like dopamine hit, not really adding to like what I want to create in my life. It's like a distraction in a way, kind of like scrolling social media. It's distraction for, you know, I'm tired and I just want to feel a little hit of something, right? So I know that when I don't do that, I am more focused on, like, when I don't scroll social media, I'm more focused on what it is I want to create. And I think like, oh, I can just listen to some of that and I can be okay. And then I've been playing with, okay, I'm okay. I'm just like, that's keeping status quo maybe. But do I want to keep status quo, or do I want to go beyond? I want to create something more than my current reality. Is listening to that stuff, is that going to get me to where I want to go? And so I've been playing with, you know, I'm listening to things on my walks that are expanding my mind. I switched YouTube channels to change my algorithm feed, so I'm not getting fed those suggestions anymore. So that I can choose things that are actually going to push me in the direction of where it is I want to go. I created a vision recording, basically speaking what it is that I want to create, creating that narrative. And I've been listening to that. So it's like, I've been feeding my mind the story of where it is I want to go. And so it's like kind of stacking my life and all the things that are pushing me in that direction, and recognizing like what are the things that might be stopping me from going where I would like to go. So that's what I've been playing with recently.
I love that. I mean, and you've just provided an incredible framework for people and a way to really see it applied. And I'll say second to what you said is that social media is a massive one for me, you know, and I I agree, like you, I feel like I've gotten to the point where I can be in it and like detached from it. And I think because I'm not in there enough, my feed's gone to something really boring that I'm just like, oh, yeah, I don't need to look at this. Like, whatever, I'm about to tap out. But when I am like in a habit of getting out of bed, I read my emails first. And then if I spend time on there, it is a completely different day that I have. That sort of pulls me back from, and it's been so many times I've seen this happen in my life where it is such a confusing thing, right? Like to the point where I'll be scrolling and I'll see something and I'm like, oh, I have an idea. And I'm like, okay, yep, idea. And then I scroll 5 more posts and then I'm like, oh, what was that idea? And I'm like, wait a second, what? And I scroll back up to try and be jogged by the memory of what the idea was. And I'm like, this is exactly what it does. It is not designed to actually how I thought I used it to inspire me, which yes, it does. But unless I get off in that moment, I have an inspiration, she's gone. Because it is not designed to really bolster us. It is designed to distract us and to scramble us. And I mean, you know, we all know the more time we spend on there, depending on what we're following, especially someone who's, you know, wanting to build a business and be your authentic self and express that, I get so lost in other people's, yes, beautiful, authentic expression, but I start to be like, oh, maybe I should be like that, or maybe I should speak in that way or do those things. It's like, I admire those people because of their authenticity, not because I should be like that. So, you know, again, looking at all those things that are in our lives that are not supporting us to feel, you know, a sense of confidence or conviction to take the steps we want to take to create that kind of reality. Where can I clean that up? Social media, as we said, is a massive one. And let's even come back to it of like, how are we even feeding our physical body? Like, you know, how are we taking care of our vessel to feel, you know, well? You know, like I have got the energy. I do feel good. You know, what we eat and what we consume on every level affects us mentally. So, you know, if we're really wanting to create our own reality, how do we support that at the best and deepest level? You know, I love the example you gave because it's just so like, so conscious. And that's what it does require. It requires our conscious intention, awareness, our conscious action. It is a deepest sense of self-responsibility. We're the ones creating, and know that it is a constant growth process to do that. And so much of what, if I reflect on my own journey, you know, every time I've taken steps forward to really live a life more aligned to my truth, it's like we talked about the other day, you know, it's just stacked up with new fears. Fear's always on the path, you know. So the sooner we can embrace the fact that fear is always going to be part of the journey, you know. Feeling fear isn't a reason to stop. Feeling fear is a reason to continue to go forward because, you know, I've come to see fear as my greatest ally. I see fear as a woman standing at the gate of the next version of me, the thing that I want. And while it's really painful to pass through that gate of fear, fear wants the absolute best for me. Because fear knows that what's on the other side of me facing that is this transformation, is this, you know, thing that I desire so much. And it's like fear holds the highest standard for me. That's how I've come to see fear, you know, like it really does, right? Because you face that, you change. You face that, you grow, you expand, you gain strength, confidence, an ability to kind of meet fear again and again and again. So, you know, That's something that came to me as a vision through consistently trying to face my fears, to really reframe fear for myself. And it doesn't make it easier to face your fears, but you can love fear in a way. You can embrace it and welcome it. And it's like that's an energy shift to love and welcome our fears, because they're our greatest gift to our realization. And, you know, living a reality that you create for yourself is an incredible experience. Hard work, dedication. But again, as we said, you know, it's possible. You know, there are no limitations, only the ones we construct within our beliefs or we're programmed. And that was one of the things we said at the start, you know, How can we be creating our reality? It is, we've got to question the beliefs and the glass boxes and the limitations we've put on ourselves. And is that really true? Is it really true, full stop? Is it really true for me? Then claim that choice, as you said, through what you're learning with Dr. Joe Dispenza. We just have to choose the choice, choose it. That's step one. And then, you know, it's yes, that doesn't just magically give you the new reality, like step into it. What else would you add to like how we can really create it and what we need to do?
So something that's been cool to experience and explore with myself is there have been times when my limitations and my belief system had me believing something wasn't possible. So this might seem like a silly example, maybe not, but I'll just use it as an example. So, you know, I like to take pictures. And in the last less than a year ago, I decided to start making money from my photography. After my mom passed away, I purchased an APS-C mirrorless camera, which is like a smaller sensor camera. It takes really great photos and it can be used for professional work. However, a full frame camera is a larger sensor and it allows for more capability, more flexibility with how you can use the camera. I was operating with like, you know, I'm just an APS-C photographer. I'm not one of those professional photographers that can invest thousands of dollars into a camera system because that's not me. I'm in this box over here. This is my belief system. And then one day, you know, I had some jobs coming up where I was excited about, and I saw myself with a full frame camera at this event. And I'm like, but I can't have that. That's not me. That's not my reality. And then I went into a meditation, and within that meditation, it's like, I saw, oh, I can have that camera. How can I get it? And I came up with a way came to me of how I could get that camera. That was in the morning. I happened to be going to this this internal family system session with someone who I traded a photography session with. I took pictures of her and she was giving me the session. And I went and she helped me work through some inner child stuff. And at the end, I'm like, oh, I'm getting that camera. That in a way, the camera represents the limited, you know, the limited mindset that I had of what was possible for me and how quickly in just an hour or two, the reality of what kind of identity that I have was able to shift into something different than, and that might, it's kind of simple, right? Like the example of, I'm this, I can't have this, to I can have this, I am this. And that box that I put me in was keeping me from even considering it as a possibility. And I think we can apply that to many different aspects of our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a great example.
I guess getting back to like asking questions of like, what is possible? Another, I'll go there. If I didn't know how something could come to be, starting to ask the questions, whether it be in meditation or in other states of like flow, start asking questions. How is this possible? I find the answers come to me, whether it's internally, like an internal knowing, or, you know, like hearing something, seeing something, or it comes to me from other people. The answers come to me of new ways of making something possible that I want to create. So I think getting curious and asking the questions, how something can be possible, and trusting and being open to what wants to come in as far as answers are concerned.
Beautiful. And I think something else you said in there too was like, in your other example where you've recorded that vision for yourself, like create the vision, create the vision. And, you know, it makes me think of timelines, right? Like we, you know, if we really get very spiritual and metaphysical in this moment, like there is only the now in reality there, or in reality, yes, there's only now. So I've come to understand it as like, if you imagine that you drew in, like, I don't know, I always put my hands into what feels like the now, so just like a bubble around me, right? That's the now. And in this exact moment, whatever I choose next, like whatever I say, whatever thought I think, whatever little action I do, like could splinter off to into billions or an infinite number of directions. And so it is coming back to that, to being as present as you can with yourself, to then say, okay, what do I just want next? Next, 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 right? And it is technically a moment to moment thing, but it's like, how are you really experiencing this now? But this now choice informs the next now choice and the next now choice and the next now choice. So it is the work to be as conscious as we can, to be as aligned as we can, to be grounded and centered and present as we can, so that we are able to. And again, I think that what presence really helps us do is, I kind of put this in my hands around my head, like it's like a bubble of presence, where it's kind of like when we have a practice of being able to come to our center, we can like literally look at like all the chaos and the crazy out in the world and have an internal moment of like, what do I want to choose? What do I want to choose? You know, when we're fully engaged in that external world, in that other reality or the reality, we can get so lost in it. You know, our minds connected to it. If we're reading the news, watching the TV, deeply in social media, like it's like, I imagine it as plugged into my head. It's just feeding that mind, that the rats on the wheel, the spinning, spinning, spinning. So presence practices and how we can come back into our body and, you know, center and ground to even be in the midst of chaos, like come back into you and your world. What do I want to choose? Just next. Doesn't have to be what I want to choose for my life in 5 years' time. If you have that idea, wonderful. But we are only going to get to that place, quote unquote, by what we choose in this now moment. So how are we able to cultivate those practices and that ability to come back in? And meditation is such an incredible tool beyond quietening our mind. I see meditation as like, it's like mental gym of moving that point of awareness away from all that noise to inside. You know, like as we're practicing meditation, we're learning how to shift our awareness. You know, yes, beautiful benefit of that is that our mind quiets because we're coming back to the point where our awareness comes from. We're choosing where we focus it. So that's such a powerful way for us to be able to grasp our sense of control in amongst all of what we see, what we hear, what we're bombarded with. And as you said, so consciously choosing, what do I then allow into that space so that I can hear more of that truth of me? I can follow my own internal guidance. I can live what's truthful and real for me. And what is the life that's trying to come up and out through me, you know, that wants to be lived? Where am I being led? You know, and so that's what I would also add to how we can begin to, you know, start to live our own reality and take steps forward.
Yeah, what you've mentioned about choosing, I think that for some, maybe many of us, it's possible that we didn't learn that we have choice as in our childhood. Mm-hmm. Maybe our lives were dictated to us as far as what we can do, who we should be. And so there's healing that has to happen, right? As far as a relearning, a repatterning, a rewiring in the brain, that we can choose every aspect of our lives, right? I mean, there are guardrails, right? Of, okay, we likely need to make some money unless we're independent, you know, we inherited a lot of money, or we have to manage that, or we decide to go live. You know, there's some way we have to have a roof over our head, feed ourselves, etc. We get to choose mm-hmm. how much of money we need, right? Like maybe we're stressed out by trying to live at a certain level. And is that really your choice of how you want to live? And you can choose something else. You can choose to live more simply if that requires you to live in a way that doesn't feed your soul. Like we always have choice, right? But there's a relearning that I think, and it goes along with moving out of that victim consciousness of that, the belief that we don't have a choice in the situation, because we always have mm-hmm. a choice. We might believe we don't have a choice, but in every situation, we have a choice. We have a choice mm-hmm. with how we respond to things. We have mm-hmm. a choice with what we do to start changing our circumstances. And it might be something as simple as meditating or mm-hmm. waking up earlier to give yourself something, you know, feeding, mm-hmm. you know, choosing what you put in your mouth, choosing mm-hmm. what you consume. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is a choice. Who do we surround ourselves with? Maybe we're in mm-hmm. relationships that tell us that we're not worthy, that we can't do things. And it's mm-hmm. ultimately we're choosing, you know, it might be hard to leave. It's not, I'm not saying it's easy,
no.
but ultimately it's our choice in that mm-hmm. situation. So it's not to say that it doesn't require us to do healing work to remember that, because maybe that's not what was patterned for us as children. Maybe yeah. it's becoming the creator is choosing to learn that we can choose mm-hmm. and that might be easier for some than others. But we yeah. ultimately, if we look at it, our situations from a soul level, our soul chose to come in and have the experiences that it's having. And I think asking ourselves, why didn't my soul choose this? Mm-hmm. And that's been helpful for me, like the areas mm-hmm. that I struggle with in my life. It's like, why do I struggle with this? Because my soul chose this. Why did my soul choose this? And it's because I'm here to get good at something that's hard for me. And so yeah. I can look at it as like, oh, it's hard, I don't want to do it. Or mm-hmm. I can look at it as a challenge that I'm capable of little by little taking steps to improve in my life. And so I think it was a meme or a video, something along the lines of like, procrastination is like an ultimate insult to God, because it's assuming that we have another day to do the thing that we should be doing, the thing that we want to do, but mm-hmm. we're putting it off to tomorrow when we there's no guarantee of tomorrow. And so yeah. I think looking at each day as an opportunity to create the reality that we want to live, like it's done yeah. now, it's not done tomorrow, it's done now.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
what is the vision? What can I do today? It might be something really small, and it might mm-hmm. be something like the very beginning of that journey.
Yeah.
But it's the first step that's going to, and once you start taking those steps, Joe Dispenza talks about this. And it's also one of my gene keys is about, the gift is the shadow is inertia. The gift is determination, and the city is invincibility. And it mm-hmm. talks about in the shadow, we're taking these steps, our heads are down, and we don't realize we're going mm-hmm. in circles. And so it's really just like taking one step a little bit different that gets mm-hmm. us out of that mm-hmm. that loop, and taking one more step mm-hmm. a little bit different. And so our reality mm-hmm. changes. It doesn't have to be these big grand things that
yes.
creates a different reality. It can be very small. And once yeah. we start taking more steps that take us out of those ruts, it like I mentioned, like that ball rolling, that snowball rolling down the hill, it creates momentum and it becomes easier. Mm-hmm. And we're no mm-hmm. longer in that rut that was keeping us stuck in the, you know, Joe Dispenza talks about the life of our past versus the yeah. the life that we want to create. So, the choice, and also realizing that every day we have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Every moment we have a choice, like literally
every moment. Yes.
every moment, right? Like we every day, yes. And then, you know, there's how many moments in a day? Like there's so much opportunity.
Do I scroll through social media or do I do something to take care of myself? Do I take a nap take a bath or eat something nutritious or do something fun? Like, you know, Joe Dispenza also talks about what is our habit and allowing ourselves to say yes to something that we don't typically do. Yes. So being open to, you know, it's observing the world around us. It's going right instead of left, you know, listening to the voice to like nudge us in a different direction. And it allows us to then, that's when serendipity and synchronicity start to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like the universe can start to work with us because we're open to something new.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I want to just like put in here into the conversation that when we are in a spiritual circles, this is what when we're like jumping timelines, like when we talk about timelines, you know, it is the off that beaten path, which is really just a loop. When we step out of that loop and we are actively sort of splintering off into a thought path or an actual action outside of our norm, and combine that with the vision of something else and holding that vision and like you listening to it over and over again, that timeline, that new pathway is coming in to be an actual track we can track. So it's like that's your potential. That's your ability to create something new for yourself. Hold that vision. Step outside of the routine, the habit, one little thing at a time, and you keep choosing on those different tracks, and you're literally splintering off of like that path to create a new reality, multiple options of new realities for yourself. But you know, anything is literally possible. My husband was right. And even when you get to those moments where, you know, you're pushing your own ceiling and you go, oh no, that's not possible, we'll say, well, why isn't it? Like, why isn't it? We had a conversation with someone, her episode comes out this week or next week, but Amber, about her Kundalini Awakening, and she was talking about the thin edge of the wedge. Like, we start at the thin edge of the wedge, right? Like, if when we start to choose our own reality, we move up the thicker part of the wedge, but it doesn't stop there. Potential just continues to grow and grow and grow. Like, we don't know how infinite that potential really is. What we are capable of, and allowing ourselves to begin to open to that mindset, which is very different to the mindset that we're fed within the reality or the mainstream narrative. You know, what are we allowing ourselves to believe? How are we allowing ourselves to perceive things? What would it mean for us if we were to open that up to something that feels more aligned for us? There's healing work in that. There's clearing work in that. You know, there's the things we're not even aware that we're holding. You know, I didn't think I had any beliefs I needed to shatter until someone came in and was like, you know, you're dampening my spirit here. Anything is possible. So, I hope that, you know, for everyone listening, that it was an inspiring conversation, something that is food for thought to help you see that whatever it is you're experiencing in this moment, you have the power and the full potential to create a different circumstance for yourself, a better circumstance, one you really want, something that's aligned with your truth, your values, your authentic self. And that it is of course, it's a hard thing to do, to step outside of norms, but it is an incredible growth opportunity that really gets you to live a life that it does, it expands. It is the true sense of, you know, abundance and joy that we search for is through, you know, claiming, you know, our truth, our being the self-responsible, you know, being the ones to drive the car, you know? And I mean, you know, we're still operating in society, but we're choosing in ways that feel right for us. Anything else you want to add to that, Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll just end with one little story. There's a few that came up with what we were saying. For those of you listening, Kate and I are doing the Energy Guide program again this year. And Helen Fletcher, who we had on as a previous guest, I don't remember which episode it was, we did an exchange just yesterday. She was guiding me, and my issue that I brought to the table was my situation with the puppy, the dog, who I get triggered by. And he jumps up on me. I feel like I can't control him or get him to respond to me when he does that. She gave me some amazing things to be with to start to shift my reality. And I'm already seeing a difference. The idea that what came, you know, as I was talking, what came in for her was, he's here to remind me that I'm in charge, both of him and my own life. And what she saw is, you know, the reminder that I'm here to create my own reality. I'm in charge of my experience. You know, this is still going on with my dog, but now I'm operating from the fact that I am in charge. And how do I act now from that vantage point that I am in charge? What needs to be done for him to know that I am the boss in this situation, like I am the alpha in this dynamic. So therefore I respond differently with that just that simple phrase in my mind that I am in charge. Then, you know, I'm walking the dog and my thoughts are flowing and recognizing that, oh, I'm in charge of my experience. What does that mean? And so it's like we can get implanted with an affirmation essentially that we can remind us like who we are, what we're here to do, how we can be. So it's like I went from victim helplessness state to might not be happening exactly how I want, but I'm still in charge and I'm gonna get an outcome that I want to get because I'm creating this dynamic. And that meant like me being able to be softer with him. And, you know, she talked about how can you use your hands to affect his energy when he's all wild? How can you control, like center your own energy? And so almost using it as an exercise to change my understanding of energy, right? So it's amazing that our realities can really shift with a shift in perspective, taking that perspective into experiences. And so, yes, we are in charge of our lives. And thanks for bringing this topic to the forefront, Kate, because I feel like it's been very present for me, you know, having gone back to my past and seeing the arc of my story as well. And I think we are in a place where we're being asked to really own our creatorship and no longer, if we don't like the reality in the world, it's up to us, right? To choose something else. And if we don't like what's happening in the mainstream, it's like, okay, you can focus there or you can focus on creating something new. It starts with ourselves. Then it moves to our families, our inner circles, our communities, and then that trickles out, right? So I imagine we'll have more conversations about this topic, right? I think whether it's with guests or with us. And should we just go ahead and wrap up? And
Okay,
something I wanted to, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go.
Oh yeah, so something actually that was brought up with Helen was how she was giving us some great feedback about the podcast because she's been listening. And I'm like, oh, that's great to receive feedback because we're not getting a lot of feedback from people listening in our comments. So I would really request, encourage, and appreciate anyone listening to please share with us what's coming up for you when you are listening and watching these episodes, because it will help us understand those that are benefiting from these episodes and it'll help guide the conversations that we had by being in connection with you. So whether it could be something simple and short or, you know, tell us what you think. And we would love to hear more from those of you that are listening to us talk to each other.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because I chatted to Helen the other day too, and she told me some great stuff about episode. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And then afterwards I thought, well, I should have said to her, can you please leave that comment somewhere? So again, if you're having a thought or you really did enjoy an episode, we'd love wherever it is that you've listened, if there's a possibility to comment on something or even leave a review to the platform that you listen to or a rating, that really helps us One, see what you're exactly like enjoying getting out of this, helps others understand what this is all about. So we'd love to hear from you in whatever form that comes. But that's, yeah, it's something I was, I think it's time for us to just reach out and say, you know, because we hear, we do get the comments from people personally in our lives. And it's funny how many of my friends have like, oh, I've been listening to all your episodes. I'm like, I didn't even know. Like, let me know. Like, tell me what you like. But that's,
give us a like. Give us
a little like. And yeah, we'd love that stuff.
So on YouTube, if you're listening on YouTube, give us a comment there. You can, like you said, give a review, but also you can email us your feedback as well. And maybe we can share some of, not all of it, but we could share some of the feedback. If you're open to that, you can also let us know if you want us to keep it private as well. That's okay too. But yeah, you can go on our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and there's a contact button, and go ahead and fill out that form and we'll receive that. So that would be appreciated. From you all. And I guess let's just wrap up here.
Thank you everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.